The United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization today sent a team of experts to investigate the state of the archaeological site at Pompeii in Italy. The inspection comes after two walls crumbled at the ruins of the 2,000-year-old Roman-era World Heritage Site yesterday, the fourth collapse in a month. Andrew Wallace Hadrall is the director of the Herculaneum Conservation Project near Naples. He explained to Lydia O'Kane the reasons for the problems at Pompeii.
Why is this happening?
It's happening because there are absolutely enormous problems in keeping a city that's already been destroyed by a volcanic eruption and then excavated, keeping those ruins alive, so to speak. Let's not underestimate what a big problem it is. And in some ways, we've been very lucky with these collapses over the last few weeks. We've been lucky in the sense that relatively little serious damage has been caused. The so-called school of the gladiators was not a building of prime importance, let's say. And what these collapses are is a warning to us of much, much worse collapses that could easily happen. The whole site is at risk. Many of us have been saying this for years, for decades. And it's not something that's inevitable. There are all sorts of ways, not of avoiding any problems at all. You've got to have problems, but of keeping them reasonably under control. And you shouldn't have entire buildings collapsing. What's missing is a proper system of maintenance, of monitoring, of checking places up, of intervening in good time. And that is lamentably absent in Pompeii.
Does this have a lot to do with lack of funding?
There is a shortage of money. There are funding problems. But in some senses, Pompeii is well off. It's well off compared to most other archaeological sites in Italy. It takes somewhere between 20 and 25 million euros in revenue from visitors every year. And thank heavens, they are allowed to spend that money, not on the staff, the staff are already paid for, but on the needs of the site. And it's not just the site of Pompeii. Remember, there's also Herculaneum down the road and a string of very interesting villas in Bosco Reale and the wonderful villa called Oplontis in Torre Annunziata, also in Stabia. So there's lots of stuff to look after. In my view, the money they have could be spent a great deal better. And there's too much interference that deflects the spending of that money from just sensible maintenance purposes.
What would you say are the real potential threats here?
Well, the universal threat is the weather. People in England can never believe this, but it rains as much in Italy as it does in England, and the rain can be extremely severe. And the penetration of water is the single gravest problem on these sites. If water gets onto frescoes, onto mosaics, or even into the structure of walls, it causes progressive accumulating damage, which will end up at some critical point in collapse. It's not just the problem of water. It's also the problem of intense sunshine, the enormous variations in temperature that the site experiences. So it's baked for some of the year and soaked for another part of the year. However, there are all sorts of ways of mitigating the impact of water, like making sure there are roofs over the bits that are most exposed, monitoring those roofs. A broken roof tile leads to penetration of water and eventual collapse. You need to make sure that the drains work properly. So there's all that, dealing with normal weather conditions. But let's also remember that Vesuvius represents not merely the danger of further eruptions, but the danger of earthquakes. And it's really, really dangerous in an a zone that's subject to earthquakes, not to be taking very good care of the site.
How much have you learned and your team learned from the Herculaneum site that can be put into practice here at Pompeii?
I think one of the most important things we've learned, in a sense, is the need for modesty, the need not to do over elaborate things. For instance, when we started at work in Herculaneum, people said, "Why don't you build a great glass dome over the site?" Now, that would have been incredibly expensive, but the more we learn about these sort of domes, the more we learn that they create absolutely impossible climate conditions inside them, intense heat, and they lead to other problems. What we need is not a vast bit of engineering like that, but ordinary maintenance. So what we've been trying to do is just elaborate standard procedures that will actually cut the maintenance bill enormously. It's the old stitch in time saves nine. If you intervene swiftly when small problems arise, you avoid large problems further down the line. And this has been one of the greatest problems in Pompeii, that in recent years, particularly the growth of European legislation, has led to a situation where it takes years to get a building project approved, to put it out to tender, and actually then start it. And if you leave 2 or 3 years between noticing a small problem and actually intervening, you risk actually losing the thing in the intervening time.
Is it a case sometimes that when you look at a country like Italy and you look at cities, Naples, Rome, and areas like Pompeii, is it a case that you see so much and there's so much culture, there's so much archaeological history in the country, and you see things lying on a ground and they're just left there, but they're historic, that it's almost taken for granted?
I know there's a terrible temptation in Italy to say, either we've got so much heritage that we can't possibly look after it, or we've got so much that that it doesn't matter if we lose a bit. The point about Pompeii, Herculaneum, the Vesuvian area, is that this is a historically unique phenomenon. In Greece, there's Santorini, which in a completely different period in the second millennium BC preserves a town in a volcanic eruption. The quality of preservation of a site buried under a volcanic eruption is just light years different from any other kind of archaeological remain. And this is all we've got. We're not going to find other sites of this quality in Italy. And if we don't look after them, we're going to lose them forever. And one of the most scary things is to take a walk across the site of Pompeii, entering from the west and heading towards the east. Excavation started in the west and moved over the course of two and a half centuries now, moved from west to east. And what you can see is that the stuff that was dug 200 years ago is nothing but a skeleton, whereas the stuff that was dug 50 years ago is still preserved with great vividness. And what we're risking is losing the more recently excavated stuff so that it becomes a skeleton like what's left of the first excavations.
Pompeii is a World Heritage Site, and I wanted to ask you, where does UNESCO come into play in all this?
I wish that UNESCO had more teeth, in a sense. UNESCO performs a very good role as the conscience of the world in preserving heritage. But there's relatively little that UNESCO can do. It doesn't have a great budget with which it can help out a site like this. I hope that the present visit by representatives of UNESCO will do something to draw people's attention to the acuteness of this problem and to help people at every level in Italy. But in the end, it has to be a political approach to take these problems really seriously and act now.
You look at, as I say, Pompeii, and you look at here in Rome, there's so much, and there's also been issues here with different buildings and different collapses here in Rome. Again, it comes back to looking after everything, and there's also been maybe people saying that perhaps if there were less cars in some of the zones near the Forum Imperiale, pollution can also affect buildings around there. I mean, are there measures that can be taken, like stopping cars from going into a particular historic area? Things like that, would they help?
Well, of course, it's impossible to stop the life of a modern city just to preserve some antiquities. If the city depends to some extent on those antiquities for part of its life, and tourism is a really important part of the life of Rome and of the Naples area, then of course there's a good reason for intervening. I don't personally think that there's much that can be done with traffic control, though, I mean, for instance, it's horrific how traffic still treats the Colosseum as a roundabout. All those fumes constantly belching out around the Colosseum are doing it no good at all. And yet, the Colosseum is probably the single most famous building from antiquity. However, Rome is structured in such a way that it would be incredibly difficult to find an alternative route for traffic. So I wouldn't want to take a position on that. I think one of the problems is that people in the past have done excavation without realizing the implications in terms of looking after what they've done. They think at the time that the expense is actually exposing the past, digging it up. So the Domus Aurea, the Golden House of Nero, that used to be completely buried, but from the Renaissance onwards, we've been emptying it out. And now, notoriously, the Golden House suffers from collapses, suffers from constant penetration by water. The reason is that we have excavated it. And I think one lesson is we have to be very, very much more cautious about excavating new things, because every excavation creates a problem of maintenance for the future. So I think the answer lies in responsible archaeology rather than blocking the life of a modern city. But the other great lesson to learn is that archaeologists and developers have to collaborate. A living city is bound to undergo constant building, digging of new holes in the surface of the earth. In a city like Rome, they inevitably generate new archaeological finds. But if archaeologists can work well with developers, as has been the case notably in London, then archaeology, instead of blocking the life of the of a modern city, can live with it and give added value to it.